Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Monday morning, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says the state is on pace to move into the next phase of easing COVID-19 restrictions this Friday. That would mean gatherings of up to 50 people, up from the current limit of 10. It would also mean indoor dining at restaurants, albeit at 25% of capacity. Plus, movie theaters, museums, sporting events all could resume, though with significantly reduced capacity. Meanwhile, COVID-19 infections are still happening. Officials announced nearly 1,300 newly confirmed cases in Illinois over the weekend, with another 67 deaths. Joining us to talk about this on our Monday Reporters Roundtable are Kara Anthony. She's a reporter with Kaiser Health News. Kara, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Lee Gaines, a reporter at Illinois Newsroom and WILL. Lee, thank you for being here again.
Happy to be here.
And Kristen Schorsch with, she's a government and politics reporter at WBEZ. She has also been covering COVID-19 in a number of different ways. Kristen, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Kara, I'm going to begin with you and ask, what are you seeing in your region, in Metro East, in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic? I mean, are businesses are reopening, I gather, but are people taking it seriously still, or do a lot of people seem to be kind of over it, as we've seen with in some places?
You know what, Ryan? I would definitely say that it's a good mix. I was just out and about over the weekend milling around, and I definitely, it seemed like I saw half and half in some places. People were wearing masks, and in other places, you know, folks just chose to go without. But even in Southern Illinois, we had a surge over the weekend with more cases being reported. It was particularly interesting to see over the Father's Day weekend, all of the patio seating out at different restaurants, because on Friday, Illinois will allow dine-in seating for folks that want to sit down in a restaurant and eat. So after months of not being able to do that and sitting outside for the last few weeks, they'll be able to do that now in Illinois. But really a good mix, but a lot of folks definitely were out this weekend for sure.
And Lee, you're in Champaign-Urbana. I wonder what you're seeing on the ground there.
Well, in Champaign-Urbana, I'm seeing a lot of mask compliance. So it would be shocking to me, and it is shocking to me anytime I go to a grocery store or convenience store and see someone without a mask. It's usually one person out of dozens who are wearing masks. So everyone is really, it still appears to be taking it seriously. The same goes for the protests that have been happening. I've been seeing a lot of people wearing masks at those as well. Interestingly, I did the weekend before last take a road trip to a cabin in Southern Indiana, and I ended up stopping at some gas stations in Southern Central Illinois. So East Central Illinois, but sort of towards the Indiana border. And I saw a lot less compliance. There were frequently times where I was the only person wearing a mask in the convenience store. And the same is true actually for Southern Indiana as well. So that was actually quite interesting and sort of shocking for me to see, especially coming from Champaign-Urbana, where the compliance is really high.
Interesting. Yeah. Here, I mean, in Springfield, where I'm based there, it's definitely not shocking to see people without masks anymore. The compliance has been slipping for a while, you know, and we are also here on the 21st doing a texting initiative. And I just wanted to pause for a moment. It's called Text the 21st. We asked our texting group 2 weeks ago, you know, with Illinois in phase three of reopening, what, you know, level of normal activities people are resuming, how they're keeping themselves safe. We got a response from Lauren in Urbana who said, quote, "I'm still working from home and avoiding stores, personal services, seeing friends, etc. If I do see friends or expect to be among crowds, I wear a mask, stay outside, and stay apart." We also got a message from Jim in Urbana who said, quote, "We're still being quite cautious due to health complications, which would not do well in combo with COVID-19. If we need to go out, we wear protective gear, mask always, gloves sometimes. It's a very small price to pay for us and those we come in contact with." End quote. And listeners, if you want to join our texting group, you can text the word TALK to 217-803-0730. That's TALK to 217-803-0730. Kristen Schorsch from WBEZ, I want to bring you into the conversation. Chicago, of course, has been at the center of the hardest hit region in Illinois. And I wonder how are things looking there in terms of, you know, how people are responding to the pandemic here as we're coming to the end of June?
Yeah, things are looking good here. You know, you consider all these metrics that public health officials use to determine how quickly we reopen more of the economy. And in Chicago, the number of COVID cases continues to decline. This big metric known as the positivity rate, this is the percentage of people who test positive for COVID. It's around 5% right now. And the goal to move forward was to have this rate be less than 7%. So this Friday, the city is actually scheduled to open even more of the economy. We're going into phase four, and where we have a five-phase plan, right? So people can, like you mentioned at the top of the show, they can eat inside again. They can go to zoos, museums. Groups of 50 people can meet indoors, 100 people outside, still with limitations on capacity. And people are still encouraged to wear those masks, to stay 6 feet apart from one another, to keep that social distance. But yeah, things are looking good.
You know, it's interesting. In Chicago, I understand the Lakefront Trail reopened today. And I think in many other parts of Illinois, parks, you know, not necessarily playgrounds, but parks where people could go running or walking have been open for a while now. Why was that closed, and what are the new rules there?
Yeah, so back in March when the pandemic really picked up here, you know, the lakefront in Chicago is like this really popular destination. Bikers, walkers, people growing out in the green space between the trails, on the beaches. But you still had these hordes and groups of people gathering. And so, you know, the mayor was like, this could really help spread COVID. So she shut it down. So, you know, we've been, 3 months or so without legally being allowed to use the beaches or the paths. And so today, the Lakefront Trail reopened. So this is just the trail. This is just like the path you can bike on, you walk on, you have to keep it moving. It's still just for exercise and transit only. The beaches are still closed, but still, this is a big deal for people. I live on the north side of the city. I live behind a bunch of trails. It's usually pretty empty down in my backyard. And when the lakefront closed, everybody came to all these other parts of the city, including to these trails, and now they're empty again. So yeah, this is a big step forward for people. People are really excited about this.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. That's Kristen Schorsch, government and politics reporter at WBEZ. We're also speaking with Lee Gaines, who's a reporter at Illinois Newsroom from WILL, and Kara Anthony, who's a reporter with Kaiser Health News. Kara, given that people in the Metro East region of Illinois are really part of the broader St. Louis metropolitan area, I think it is worth paying attention to a little bit what's happening in Missouri. Can you tell us anything about the cases on the other side of the Mississippi River?
Yeah, Missouri experienced a record-breaking surge just over the weekend. There were 413 new cases reported, and that was on Sunday. And so just the day before that, though, another record was broken with 389 new cases reported. So lots of new cases happening. But you have to remember that Missouri, certain parts of it, St. Louis County, didn't, and parts of St. Louis City didn't reopen right away, but we all remember watching the video from the Ozarks happening early on, and so now we are experiencing a surge here in the state where things reopened quickly outside of the major metropolitan area, but now St. Louis City is also starting to reopen, and really they've are moving forward pretty quickly in wanting to, you know, have things go back to normal as safely as possible. So,
yeah, interesting. You know, Kristen, it strikes me that Chicago, I think, as you said, they're on pace to sort of join Illinois with, you know, on Friday of this week, June 26th, in terms of moving to the next phase. But it had been delayed in coming into the current phase 3. I wonder if you can talk about what was behind that delay, and also, you know, and what could keep Chicago from moving forward. I know you've done some reporting on that.
Yeah, so the reason for that delay was because Chicago basically has stricter guidelines than the state. They're more specific in a lot of cases for when it would move forward. So it makes it harder for the city to move forward. So for example, that positivity rate I mentioned, that percentage of people testing positive for COVID, the state reopens more of the economy when that rate is at or below 20%. And Chicago, you know, to get into phase four, they made it below 7%. So that's a lot harder to get to, right? Also, there are other things like, you know, the city of Chicago wants to have, you know, at least 5% of residents a month tested. So like more than 4,500 tests a day for Chicago residents. And the state, you know, their guideline is we want to test all available patients, healthcare workers, first respondents. So basically the city is just more specific and it makes it harder to move forward. In terms of what could push us back, or, you know, move forward into the next phase, what could push us back is the key thing is that public health officials are very concerned about our hospitals getting overwhelmed with patients. They have caps on things like the number of ICU beds and ventilators available for patients. You know, we hit those limits. That's a, you know, a real danger for treating COVID patients and other people who need to be in the hospital, right, for other reasons. So hospitals only have so much space. We hit those limits. We basically could move back. That's the bottom line, is wanting to make sure the hospitals don't get overwhelmed.
Interesting. So I want to shift gears a little bit. Lee, last week you were reporting on the University of Illinois' plans for resuming on-campus instruction this fall. And a big part of that, I understand, is a new coronavirus test being developed on the Urbana campus. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so it's a saliva-based COVID-19 test that was developed here by faculty and research students. And what basically they're saying they'll be able to do is that they'll be able to test up to 10,000 people per day and also get same day results. And so it's not the nasopharyngeal swab that I think some people might be familiar with or more
the
used
brain
to.
Scrape, as it's
yeah,
known.
The brain scrape. It's using someone's saliva. So I think it was described to folks who were on a webinar recently that it would be like, you know, part of the orientation for the students who are coming back to school this fall would be submitting a saliva sample and getting tested for COVID-19, along with, you know, getting their university ID card and all the things that you do when you come back to campus or you come to a campus for the first time. Interestingly, they also plan to retest students and staff at the university. So, you know, that they're using an algorithm that they developed. They're also adding COVID-19 features to an app, an Illinois app is what it's called. And that will essentially alert students and staff that they need to get tested again for COVID-19 periodically. And the algorithm, as it's been described, will weigh certain risk factors to determine whether or not someone needs to get tested. In addition to that, they've also developed a feature as part of this app where students and staff can opt into this, which will alert you if you have come into contact or close contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID-19. So the other user would also have had to opt into that feature. There are some concerns with the app that were expressed by staff working on it, like privacy is a huge concern.
Mm-hmm.
And the university is essentially telling folks, look, we're not Google, we're not Facebook, we're not going to sell your data. We're just trying to keep people safe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I want to shift gears again, because another big story that we've been following on the 21st this month relates to the protests against police brutality and racism. And Kara Anthony with Kaiser Health News, I know this is another public health crisis of a sort. And I know you've been following this closely. Your most recent story is called Just Make It Home, The Unwritten Rules Blacks Learn to Navigate Racism in America. And I want to encourage our listeners to read it. We'll tweet out a link to the story at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. And Kara, obviously we can't do justice to that story in this short conversation in the minute and a half we have remaining. But can you just talk a little bit about your reporting there and the mental health toll of living with these unwritten rules?
Yeah, in this story, readers get to meet a mental health caseworker by the name of Darnell Hill. He works particularly in the north part of St. Louis City, where he's teaching young teenagers how to physically assimilate anytime they go into a white space or have an encounter with a police officer. And when I say physically assimilate, I mean he's teaching them how to watch their body language when they're going into a business, how to walk through a park, just how to exist in spaces where they should feel comfortable and have a right to feel comfortable. But over time, it's just not that way. And so this physical code switching, I guess you could say, he's run down a list of what he calls living while Black. And he's teaching this to teenagers. And even though he hopes that it will work, it really doesn't guarantee a win because a conversation has to be had on the other side. You know, while Black Americans are learning how to code switch and physically maybe try to appear to be non-threatening, you know, I think it's important to note in the article notes that White Americans really need to have conversations about anti-racism with their children at an early age because these talks started with kids as young as 5 years old.
Wow. All right. Kara Anthony is a reporter with Kaiser Health News. Again, we will tweet out a link to that story and the stories from our other reporters at 21ST Show. We've also been speaking with Lee Gaines, who's a reporter with Illinois Newsroom and WILL, and Kristen Schorsch, government and politics reporter at WBEZ. Kara, Lee, Kristen, thank you so much for joining us this Monday morning.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking about last week's DACA decision, about the so-called Dreamers and the 34,000 of them here in Illinois. What's next for them? This is the 21st. Stay tuned.